Adriel, come. So I connected with Chris and Denise, who some of you may remember them. I think they have a bit of a story to tell. They're a bit camera shy, but I thought maybe I'll just ask a couple of questions and then don't make life too difficult for them, but I wanted them to just come. Can I just welcome Chris and Denise? Come, can we just welcome them? Hi. Hi, Chris, Lai.
Check one, two.
你来啦，你站这里，你不用讲东西，站起就可以了。Hello. You remember them? Chris and Denise, okay. You just come to see me about a month ago, right? 对吗? Why?
Every time when someone knock at the door, I'll think of that. Yeah.
So recently, okay, wow, your story very fast. You came to see me because you got some accident matter. People who come see me usually got accident. You know, right? Because I do a lot of accident. But just because they do accident doesn't mean that I'll do accident. I would talk to them about God and everything else. So about a month ago, they came to see me because they are now doing Grab. So what they're doing is they are both husband and wife team doing a Grab. But when they do Grab, they rent a vehicle. When you rent a vehicle, you got to hit a certain number of trips. So with his knee, he busted his knee. Some of you can see a scar. So his neck is not the best, but he needs to run and really meet the targets. And the rental is actually quite big. So people like Stanley, they're all a bit more relaxed because Stanley has his own car. When you have your own car, it's different from when you hire. So a lot of times when you hire, you have to hit X number of trips. I won't say which hire you see, but he needs to struggle to do that. So he had an accident a couple of years back, and then I settled his claim. Didn't get the best amount, but then the wife's claim came along. So about a month ago, they came to see me. And then what we did was we prayed together. After prayer, what happened?
Daniel helped to pray, and we have a very good price back. Oh. And then I'm so happy for
that. Not a price, but I got some money for them. So after we prayed, and then the next thing I know, I usually things don't move so fast. Actually, I'm quite a good lawyer, but things don't move so fast. But this one, we prayed, and then the next thing I know, the other side came back, and then we got a compensation amount for them. And with that amount, they're hoping to be able to buy a car. If you buy a car and you drive Grab, it's better than hiring a car. Right, so that is what I think will release some stress for them. So I told them, you must come. I challenged them. In Grab driving, coming here on a Saturday, 5 p.m., the Chinese call it Wang Jing Shi Dai. Don't you know what I'm talking about? Golden period. Because when you do Grab 5 to 6 p.m., you earn the most money. But I said, why don't you trust God? God's economy is different, boss. You come, although you come here, God will more than whatever. Maybe after the Adriel will call and then Grab, and then you have to send him Grab to Jurong West or whatever, earn a lot of money. But we always trust God and want to pray for him. But something that's interesting is something that I want to just ask you to talk about, this knocking thing. When do you hear this knocking thing? How many years ago? How many months ago? After accident, you heard God knocking on your door, right? Yeah. You think it's God knocking on your door?
But for nothing in front of the door, not someone knocking.
Okay, some knock on the door. Then after that, recently you heard the knock again.
It's different knocking.
Different knocking. Tell me about the knock.
Yeah. The first time is knocked 3 times. A few days ago before I'm meeting you, knock, 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 knock.
So now the knocking more urgent.
Whenever the knock, the next time,
so every time you hear knock, 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 the next day you come see me. Okay, very good. when they said about knocking, I really felt that it was like, you remember, Gun, we went to London, we saw the picture, behold, I stand at the door and knock. It is really God knocking on his door. Last time, not so urgent, but this time, because he's not been coming to church, and I don't blame them, because they need to earn income, right? But when he told me that it is the knock is getting more urgent, I wanted to tell them that my interpretation is God is really knocking on the door, asking them to come back. Come back soon and God will take care of them. So I found it very interesting. And this one, whenever you meet me, how you feel? Clamp my head because it gets bigger. Just tell me. Kelly, it's okay. I get used to this. Yeah. How you feel when you meet me?
I don't know why. Maybe y'all was... I don't know. My feeling when I see him, I feel something shining. I don't know. This is my feel. When I see Daniel, I feel something like light or something.
Yeah.
I feel very calm and peaceful.
So it's a good feeling. Oh, you want to talk? Can talk already. Go ahead.
Okay, when I see Daniel, I feel very comfortable. Yeah. Especially after he pray, means I can settle down, not so worried also.
Yeah. Karen, you married well, man. But How about we say that when we all pray together, the presence of God is with us? So when we pray, and then really when I prayed, we prayed for the compensation amount, the next thing was settled within the month. And then now I'm trying to really get them the money so they can buy a car. When you get a car, the pressure is off. And I'm hoping that when they get a car, then on Saturdays you see them more, because then the pressure is off. You need to go and keep that higher agency that gives you that target, which is quite lofty. So I want to just ask us to know that when we pray, God is real. And when we pray together, there's this word he used, and don't get me wrong, he said, there's this word, it was quite funny, he said, oh, 我见到你,你跟我,你帮我祷告的时候,我见到一个, he said this, 佛光. He said, okay, maybe a wrong term, but I know what you're saying, and I want to really pray that when we meet people in the marketplace, when we pray for them, something happens. And these people don't talk a lot, as you can see, but I think God is really knocking on the door and doing something. So I want us to pray. Can you just, where you are, stretch out your hands? I want to pray for them. I ask Silas, who speaks better Chinese than me, pray for them. They will get a car, good price. Want to sell your car? No. Good price. And pray for them that they will be able to come to church. I invite Silas to come, just pray for them. Yeah. Wherever you are, you just pray for them. Come.
Hallelujah. 主，我们要给你特别的荣耀。今天看到这一对夫妇站在你的面前，他们给你一个见证，就是主，你在敲他们的心门。每当你敲他们的心门的时候，你有一个话语对他们说：“我爱你。”主告诉你：“我爱你。”不论你经过什么样的经历，金钱上还是精神上所有的问题，主都能够提供给你一定的保证，因为我们的主是一个全能的主。所以现在我们 求主把我们这对夫妇交在你手中，在他们在驾车的时候，给他们一份安定的心，保护他们，给他们安全，给他们喜乐。你们也知道，每当走到主的圣殿的时候，主的荣光会呈现在他们面前。而且主说，你跟随着我，我一定会能够好好的带你。所以我们把这一切就交托在你手中。这一切我们奉主耶稣的名求。 Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Chris Denise. Thank you. Come, have a seat. Come, can we just applaud them and thank you. So sometimes when you're a lawyer and you get all these things that you do, it really brings a lot of warmth to me. Really, it makes my job so gratifying. And then you have nephews like him. Twice already, I tested him because I used to, this nephew of mine, I used to take care of him when he was younger. I'm almost like a de facto father. Kelly, you didn't know that, right? So I thought it was payback time. So every time, like for example, in April, my birthday, I was in this clothing brand called Paul Smith. Then I said, today is my birthday. Then I said, this shirt is X amount. They said, okay, bye, I pay. And then December, Christmas, then I went to Italy with Karen, and then the niece also went. Then I said, the sister is the one beside her, Helen. Then I told her, I said, this shirt very nice. Again, I went to Paul Smith on December, Christmas, or shopping. I said, this shirt very nice. I took care of your sister when I was in Italy, you know. Then she said, how much? Then I said, this amount. And then he just gave. Next week, you must come because Silas is talking about generosity next week. Yeah, Silas? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We want to come before you. We ask the Lord that you just intervene in our lives so that, Lord, even to hear Chris and Denise, will you just keep knocking on the door, on the heart of our door? I want to just invite all of us to recognize that God will not force himself in, but as he knocks, may we open the inner recesses of our heart so that, Lord, we will invite the Lord to come in. So this afternoon, as we come before the Lord, before we hear the word of God, I want to pray for you that you will open your heart. And as you open your heart, 当你敞开你的心门的时候, God will come in. So will we all just take this opportunity to welcome God into your life? He's a gentleman. He will not force himself in. He's not the rebel. He's not going to barge in. But as he gently knocks, and sometimes he knocks a bit harder to show the urgency, will you now take this opportunity to open the inner recesses of your heart so that he can come in? So Lord, come in. Bless our people. Bless your people. Bless those who are coming to us for a second time. Bless those who you are bringing to this church. May they bring glory back to you. May you bless them. Watch over them.
prepare all this in Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much. We want to just carry on with what we left off last week. For those with your Bibles, can you just go back to Matthew 15? Go to Matthew 15, and I just want to just start off from there. This week, we talk about barriers, blessings, and prayers. This service, we talk about but now I see it's always talking about things that maybe you look at it before, last time we were younger, but through the experience of God and through just life in general, we begin to see things differently. I want to go back to the Canaanite woman that I talked about last week. You remember, we talked about Canaanite woman, the one who came before the Lord, leaving their place on verse 21, Matthew 15, verse 21, leaving their place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman came to him crying, "Son of David, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." And we all heard about how God tested her by asking a few questions, and she passed the test, and the Jesus that we know, the Son of God, said to her, "Woman," verse 28, "woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." Today, I want to just show you some of the barriers that this woman had to undergo and face before she got the answer or her prayer was answered. These are some of the barriers. Number one, she's a woman. Nowadays, even when you're a woman, things are not the easiest, right? More so the last time. She's a woman. She seemed to be a second-class citizen. You're meant to follow. You're supposed to receive, but you're not supposed to be an agent of change. So here, number one, she's a woman. She's a second-class citizen, paria, meant to follow. You're supposed to follow, not take the lead. Here, she was trying to take the lead. She's going to, you're supposed to only receive blessings, but not go out there and be an agent. Here, she's being an agent because she wants God to touch the life of her daughter who's demon-possessed, and you're supposed to have restricted public appearances. That's a woman back in those days. So she had a lot of barriers. Number one, a woman. Number two, she's a woman seeking help for another woman, the lady who's the daughter, demon-possessed at that. Number three, she's Gentile, not Jew. And God said in Matthew 15, Jesus said, I was sent only to the lordship of Israel. That's verse 24. And then she knows that as a Canaanite woman, she's an enemy of the Jew. Enemy. The Jews are the Jews, the people chosen by God. The Jews themselves, no, but the Canaanites were the enemies of the Jews. And then you see in verse 21, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. That region, can I just tell you, it's enemy territory, unclean, a place that nobody would think to be a nice place. So all these barriers were the barriers facing her, and she still did what she did. Can you imagine all these barriers? And then all the men are standing down there. Maybe, you know, Silas is there, Gunn is there, Royston is there, Jesus is there. And she just walks in there in the company of these people, in the context of all the barriers, she asked for what she asked for. And can you imagine, you ask the first time, and then what does Jesus say? I was sent only to the lordship of Israel. Then all the men, Silas and Gunn and Royston, all the Jews will be looking at her. She'll be cowering, right? She gets on and goes on to say, and what does she do? She humbles herself. She kneels. Those are some of the barriers that she had to break in order to hear the answer from God. And then Jesus replied, not right for me to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from my master's table. She then agrees that I'm a dog. Right? God says, yes, even the it is not right to take the children's bread, i.e. for the Jews, and pass it to the dogs. And she says, yes, it is so. Even the dogs eat the crumble. In other words, Michelle, when I call you a dog, you say, yes, I'm a dog. Those are the barriers, and she faced it, and she got what she wanted. I thought about A, B, C, D, E. This is a broken, next slide, please. A broken woman, a courageous woman, a desperate woman because the daughter was demon-possessed, and she was the enemy. A, B, C, D, E. Despite all these barriers, she came to God, and God was going to grant her what she wanted. Then Jesus said to me, woman. See, Jesus said, woman. That's another thing, right? Woman, you have faith. That the act of just telling you, that's the society at that time. So Jesus made it very clear. Jesus, you have great faith. Your request is granted. She broke all kinds of barriers, and I want to show you the barriers again in categories: gender, landscape, ethnicity, purity, she seemed to be unclean, and social status. All these barriers in order to hear God. I want to just invite you to think about this in 2024. Next slide, please. Will you be a trailblazer for God? You know, a lot of things we do are barriers. Karen and I were just talking about today, Isabel is studying French, and she MGS Sec 3 next year.
they possibly, not next year, this year, they can go to France for that kind of trip. But my daughter has mobility issues, and then we went to see the teacher. They just said, oh, you know, the group is quite big, 20, and then in France, this place called Brest, B-R-E-S-T, the slope very high and whatever. So it's like telling you, I think, no lah. And then your daughter is doing this French class, it's almost like a CCA thing, although she's very passionate about French, not like some other students when they go under the program, it's part of their point system. So for all those very nice things, they say the answer is no. Do we then just accept it as no, or we just go back there and say, and then so Karen will start saying, but if we go there, can we be the chaperon? I mean, then if you don't see me in June, you know what, I'm going there to be a chaperon. Then she said the slope up. I was thinking slope very high, but we all go Italy, we go Coburg streets, go London, everywhere, oh so high, but we're used to it. And I'd like to think that actually the people in Europe may be more inclusive than us, and they'd be more understanding, right? Don't you think so? It is our perception here that maybe the French cannot take care of Isabel. I would like to defer, and I would want to trailblaze and overcome barriers. Is that life for you? Do you always get what you want? Or is there sometimes a need to press the button? Always still be respectful about doing things, but I want to just encourage us. When we face all these things, do we give up, or do we say, let's press on? So I want to encourage us in 2024. Will you trailblaze? Trailblazer means that you have to do some things that has never been done before, or do some things that cause you to have to not step on toes, but to ask some questions politely, respectfully, and hopefully get something you want to get. It's either you do that, like the Canaanite woman, or you do this, and this is a Singapore favorite pastime. If you have a choice, next slide, please. You choose to do nothing and you complain. Complain, 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 and do nothing. You always have a choice in Singapore. You complain and do nothing, or you reframe and do something. I read this article last week. I think Silas read so on Sunday. This was Dan Brettner. He's the Blue Zone author. Blue Zone are the zones whereby in the world, this is supposed to be a place where it's a very happy, happy place. Actually, honestly, I'm very personally surprised. They say Singapore's a happy place. Who thinks Singapore is a very happy place? For the record, now there's no one raising their hands. I don't know. But I was thinking, oh, okay, this is a happy place. They say Singapore very happy. What does Lee Kuan Yew say? Lee Kuan Yew said, when Lee Kuan Yew took this interview, he says, people here don't tell me they're happy. But all I hear are the complaints. I can imagine, I can actually see Mr. Lee Kuan Yew saying that. Don't you think so? What do they hear? There's nothing. They don't say anything. People here don't tell me they're happy. All they hear are the complaints. My nephew is working in Penang. Penang, last 4 days, no water, right? No water. Do you all complain? I don't know. Singapore, no water, 4 days, how? No need 4 days, 4 minutes. 5G become 2G, how? Do we just complain, or do we do something about things? Do we just take status quo and say, okay, lah, like that, surrender, lah, mai seng liao lah, or do we try to see what we can do about things? So I thought that was interesting, and I want to give you a definition on complaint, and we want to reframe how we look at complaints, my friends. That's why I tell you, Adriel, this church is a bit different now. We are a marketplace. We want people to be practical. So when you go out there, you live life knowing God's values and ethos, and there's some things we can do. We do something about it so that life can change for the better, I hope. Definition of complaint. I thought this is interesting. Definition of complaint: refusal or ability or inability to accept that things are not as they ought to be. That's the definition of complaint. So when you complain, it should be you refuse or you're unable to accept things are not as they ought to be. So if, for example, Karen and I don't accept that a person with a wheelchair cannot go for a trip to France, we challenge that. But what do? We reframe. We see what are the things we can do. Pointers. There are some things you can do when we have things we complain about. Complain positively. What do I mean? I give you an example. So let's say if you're MRT, you're in an MRT, and the MRT breaks down, everyone in there uncomfortable in this hot and humid weather. By 2100, Singapore will be 35 degrees. 2100, I don't think many of us are going to be here. Silas and I definitely not. Even people like you're a bit young, you also may not be around. But do we then therefore say, oh, 2100 will be 35 and there's nothing to do to preserve the earth? Or do we just complain, or do we do something about it? For instance, the air conditioning in the MRT might have broken down. Everyone is feeling damn hot. A light remark. So instead of complaining, let's say, Adriel, you're caught with air. Everybody are going for your, what's that concert coming up? Taylor Swift, and then all in the train, all kind of hot, very hot, all sweating. How about a light remark to say, well, the train operator is offering everyone a free sauna on their way home. You identify, lighten the mood, foster a sense of shared experience because everybody hot ma. But what can you do? Hot already wa. Hot means hot lah. How about coming together, make a light remark, bring down the temperature, so to speak, and then show that we're all in this together, solidarity among the fellow sufferers. So complain positively, so to speak. Something to think about. Number one. Number two, watch it. Complaining can be addictive. Singapore's culture is to complain. Maybe we should do a test. Let's have a meal. Let's say today we ask people to go for a meal. One meal. Winnie, Karen, Michelle, let them sit down. And you're not supposed to complain about anything. Just talk about something that's good. I don't know about you. Sometimes the complaint is past time. I complain all the time. It's almost like the culture is to just talk about complaint. Oh, you know, this one not very good. And then you're, so good. And then everybody sort of drums things up. Is that what it is? Or do we talk about good things? So this author of this Channel News article talked about the fact that she went once and tried this meal, and to the horror of horrors, he found that they could not talk because once you're supposed to talk good, don't know how to talk. You need not to complain. And when he was very disturbed by this experiment, he said it was a very difficult exercise for those in the habit of complaining. The first time we tried it, we gave up after a long period of silence. Don't know how to talk. So very easy. Sit down, not supposed to complain, all silent because they only know how to complain, don't know how to talk about good things. We could not think of anything good to talk about, even though we did have some positive things going in our lives. Don't know what to talk about. Can you beat that? Worse still if you're a believer, right? You have the goodness of God, and then the only thing we complain. I'm talking to myself because I'm also very capable of being complaining. He was disturbed by this experiment, made me realize how much of an impact complaining could have on our perceptions, attitudes, and general outlooks. So what is it going to be? Are we going to be like Canaanite women? Not that I'm the best, or do we challenge the status quo with respect and try to change things and don't complain too much and reframe? I want to use the word reframe. Next slide, please. Reframe. What exactly needs to be done? How do we improve the situation? And we do something about it. A good example, I think recently was Tengah. You know Tengah, they're trying to move those people in, right, the flats. Tengah, so I think the air cons are not really working well, and then the buses are not working well. So some people made some specific areas, they identified the specific areas of improvement. The authorities were told about it, and they could introduce interim solutions. For example, a mobile grocery truck. They had a mobile grocery truck going to Tengah to, because maybe the supermarkets were very far away. They had vending machines and a free bus shuttle service to serve residents while the long-term amenities and infrastructures were being built. That's good, right? Being positive about it. Sometimes when you reframe, you need to talk about the problem. So if Karen and I want to talk about this thing, okay, these are the issues, so how do we solve it? Provide solutions. Isn't that very good? Rather than just complain, do nothing. I've got lots of friends who are like that. So whenever people complain, I'm also them scared because I get sucked in. And then I also, very bad, very bad. Or do we do things differently? I want to encourage you to think about things like that. In moments when we feel tempted to complain, it is worth asking this. What is the purpose of this complaint? This introspection can guide us towards using our complaints productively as a force for good. Isn't that what believers should be doing? Do we just complain? Or do we do something about it? So I want to, even as I read the faithful Canaanite woman, I see that she's not complaining. She had every reason to complain. Adriel, every reason. Wow, I'm a woman, you're sexist. I come from this place, you're whatever call me. I'm a Canaanite, you look at me like a pariah. I'm a Gentile, I'm a nobody. And then I tell you to pray, a woman, pray for a woman. Everything is barrier. She broke every single one. She trailblazed. I want to encourage us. Life was never meant to be simple. Last week we talked about it, JJ. To be whole is to be broken. To be broken is to be whole. You want to live a whole life, WHOLE, for God as a Christian, my friends. Your life is going to be broken, man. God breaks you, and then when you're broken, you're whole. A bit of an oxymoron, but you get it as you read the Word of God. It's all about just coming to God, and He will provide all the solutions we need. So I want to leave that thought with us so we frame how we look at things. But now I see that it is possible to complain positively but always leave God to help us as we go down the line. Switch sides, I want to talk a bit about this. Yet the main time, what we should do is we should look at Jesus. Jesus when you look at Jesus, he had a lot of things to do, right? When you read the Bible, do you see Jesus running, not running all place, but parables upon parables, Adriel, he goes there, he heals the blind, he goes there, he meets the man from Bartimaeus, he looks at the cripple, he looks at the lepers and so forth, Lazarus and everything. Notice something, Jesus was never in a rush. Sometimes when we do things, we tend to rush. I don't know about you, I rush. Because I run the law firm, I have to do my own work, I have to look at lawyers, I look at interns who come in, I've got to do so many things. I tend to rush, I'm always watching the clock. When you watch the clock, what happens? You get very agitated. We watch the clock. Singaporeans are number one, complaint kings, number two, we watch the clock. Watching the clock, but look at Jesus. This is what one author had to say about Jesus. He never seemed to be watching the clock. Jesus could get tired, but he had no qualms about falling asleep or asleep just about everywhere. He had no qualms about falling asleep just about everywhere, storm-tossed fish boats, for instance, or having luxurious dinners. He could be wonderfully responsive to the demands of others, a centurion, a father, a desperate widow, but never got caught up in the anxiety. It's interesting that when we hear from people, and look, if we are believers, you should expect 24 people will court your favor. People will come to you and talk to you, you know. Isn't that good? So Chris, if you've got a problem, you solve this problem, right? And you drive a car, people look at, wow, how come Grab driver's so steady one? Earning good money, and then the husband and wife can always go out and have time, whatever. But people may be anxious. Then we go to them when you hear their problems. Look, don't let the monkey be on your shoulders. We don't get anxious, but we empathize with people, isn't it? Jesus was never caught up in the anxiety. Just as often, he could, without a twinge of guilt, walk away from the demands and expectations. When the disciples interrupt his prayers because everyone is looking for him, he responded by saying, let's go somewhere else. He knew what he needed to do. When news reached him in Canaan that his friend Lazarus was dying, he stalled, he dallied, he came late. This was delivered on the part of Jesus, right? He was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, right? He didn't panic. Oh, panic. Come, quickly take the next train and take the MRT from Ang Mo Kio to Bishan and quickly go to meet Lazarus. He did not. His journey was filled with interruptions, detours, rounds and rounds of storytelling. That's Jesus. Never in a rush, but a lot of things to do. I want to read this interesting testimony that I thought really influences men. His name is Frank Lloyd Wright. He was an architect. When he was a boy of 9, he was with his uncle. So he walked with his uncle across a snowy field one cold grey morning. So Lloyd was 9 together with his uncle. His uncle was a driven man. The uncle was always bristling with impatience. Sounds a bit like me. The clock inside him boomed like a war drum, drove like a ramrod. So once across the field, the uncle stopped because they were walking on snowy ground and turned around and yelled to young Frank, the nephew, Talun, come and follow me. The uncle's tracks in the snow were like a stitch made on cloth. Clean, straight, tight, evenly spaced. The way he walked, very driven. Dum, 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 dum. So his tracks are very clean, straight, tight, evenly spaced. But on the other hand, young Frank's tracks were askew, looping, disheveled, mess of wanderings and shufflings and backtrackings. Listen to this. So the uncle said, Frank, notice how your tracks wander aimlessly from the fence to the cattle on the woods to the woods and back. And see how my tracks are. Aim directly to the goal. That's an important lesson for you. So the uncle trying to teach the nephew something. Be straight, go direct. And this is what the architect at the boy of 9 determined when he heard the uncle say. He determined at the 9-year-old, he said, I determined right then not to miss most things in life. As my uncle had. Sometimes when we are all just very ta-ta-ta-ta, complain, whatever, just get things right, solution, what's that saying? Don't smell the roses when whatever, you know that saying? Sometimes we miss, not so much miss the woods or trees, but we miss a lot of things along the way. But if you are like Jesus, Jesus lived like that. He's a man of ultimate destiny. He pursued a cosmic goal, eternal in scope. But he never made clean tracks in the snow. Jesus. He went there, he went here, he moved by seeming whim, by chance, by need, by second thought and afterthought, and some inward tug of the holy instinct. His zigzagging journey was anything but the anxious rushing about. Is that us? Do we sometimes live our lives and I mean, we all plan, right? I hope that when we plan some, it's good to plan, please. Please don't hear me to be saying, oh, from now on, that means no need to plan, I just float here and there, no need to plan, no need to plan to buy a car, am I? Just whatever, no need to plan. That's not true. You plan, but there is a scope. There is a scope and an opportunity if the Holy Spirit tells us, Wai Kyong, call Adriel now. You will call. Although actually you're so busy, you don't feel like calling. Sometimes I'm so busy. Chris and Denise, when you come to law firm, do I look very free? Or am I very busy? Busy, right? I also say very busy. But I take time. I had lunch with them. That was the best lunch I had at the Yakun. Now, do you know the Yakun, the Desi, is $3.20? Winnie? The big Desi upsize. I don't have the McDonald's whatever as the guide. My guide is Desi Siu Tai. When I first, remember last time you used to buy for me Desi Siu Tai? How much? 90 cents, Yakun, $1, $1.10, $1.20, $1.80, $2.40. Now the big cup, $3.20. I'm digressing. How about we take a chance, have an opportunity, although your whole spirit cries out to you, that human spirit, wah, don't, I got so many things to rush. I take a back seat, I steady a while, Chris and Denise, let's have lunch. And then when they lunch and they talk, they say they are blessed when they talk to me, they got this, don't know why, I got this like or whatever. Actually, I'm the one getting blessed when I speak to them. Isn't that what life is all about, Adriel? Are you going to have tea with me soon? You, Adriel, United Square, $3.20, you buy, I'll come. But can we take this time to just reach out to people? And it's good to have breakfast, tea, and to meet up with people and enjoy life. Isn't that what life is all about? Last week, I talked about my football, right? I tell you, on Sunday, I played with Kurt. On Sunday, 9 o'clock, you know, it was so heavy, the rain. I actually don't feel like going. It was raining cats and dogs. Then I asked Kurt. Then Kurt, 8:30 already there. I'm in Budok. So no choice, I had to go. When I went there, I'm probably the second oldest, if not the third oldest in the men. I went to play the football. I scored the first goal. I had a free kick, should have gone in. But after the people who follow up, they should have scored. Then I'm the maker of the second goal. And I had another third shot that was also destined for the goal. But then the goalkeeper saved. I'm the guy with one goal and the most shots on target. Is that true, Kurt? I'm not Hao Lianing, but I know I'm Teochew. My pink backside is there for you to see. But I'm saying, guys, enjoy the ride. But when God tells us to do something, do. God never said, don't, that there's no trouble. It is one. So every time we have to do something new, never done before, you know, it's like when the other one, the junior manager will say, oh, never done before. So when you say, want to do this, you say, oh, cannot do. Isn't that like that? Huh? Those who work in certain organizations, oh, never do before, cannot. How about can? Cannot. So have to go up, escalate, and do things. But do we enjoy the ride? Do we don't complain too much, be positive about things, and trust God. God will come through for us. I want to just leave that thought with us. Today, I can finish in time. Praise the Lord. Stop watching the clock. Your path may not be the direct path in life. Sometimes, right? It is the Lord that determines the steps, Vivian. In our heart, we plan. Esther, maybe you plan, 30, I'll work here, 35, I want to quit, and then whatever. Some of us plan, right? What's this thing called fire? Fire means what? Financially independent, retire early. Hey, I want to tell you something. If you can find in the Bible the word retire, show me. I never seen before. What? Retire? I don't want to retire. Can you imagine Sasan retire, nothing to do? Then we do all the stupid things. We need to not let him retire. Because when we retire, too much time. Don't know what to do, right? How about we keep working? So I tell people in the law firm, the best part of being a lawyer is I don't need to retire, but I can slow down. I can do other things. Make sense? How about we keep doing things that will bring glory to God? And every day, just give God a blank check so that you plan to do 5 things, but along the way, you will do it, but he may tell you, do this, do that, and then we go for the ride. And life becomes very exciting because we're Spirit-filled, and God, Jesus, had to go because by going, he sent the Holy Spirit to guide us. Then life is interesting. It's a purpose in our life. It's a reason for us living in this world. I want to say something about, in this 2024, the difference between expectancy and expectations. expectancy. Something will be done, God will do something. If we are expectant, it is good. If you're an expectant mother, means you're going to be mother, right? But some people, expectant mother, you don't know how the child will turn out, correct? But if you are a mother with expectations, it's different. I want to make sure that when my son will come out, the fella's got two eyes, one nose, 2 years, IQ 132, 7 years old will go to whatever, 13 will be PSLE, what score, and then go RA, whatever. Friends, wake up. Do we have an expectancy every time that God will do something in our lives, or do we have expectations? If you have expectations, my friend, you're setting yourself up for disappointment. Michelle, when you go Europe to study, I pray for you, expecting that God will do something. But if you say, oh God, when I go there, I want this, I want that, I want that. That's expectations. Is there a difference, Royston? There is, right? Guys, can I encourage us to be expectant? Meaning when expectant, Chris, you expect God to show up and do something, but you actually don't know what He's going to do. Half the time, three-quarter of the time, if not 95% of the time, I don't know what I'm doing, my friends. It is God just leading me along the way. Isn't that life more exciting than everything is I plan this, it must happen this way. Should be done this way, I insist that God must do it this way. Is that you? Or are you expectant? With excitement, God, I don't know what you're going to do, but I will enjoy the ride. So I want to leave a thought with you in 2024, but now I see that our job is to be expectant, but not to have expectations. Because if you do that, I think you are hamstringing God in what He can do. We do not dictate terms. Next slide. Because we're not God. Isn't it? What does the Bible say, Gun Ivy? In our hearts, we plan whatever, but it's who that determines the steps? Chris, God determines the steps. God dictates our life, not you. We don't dictate. We don't say, oh, our children, whatever. Who doesn't want everything to be perfect? But my friends, JJ, again, to be whole is to be broken. To be broken is to whole. If everything you want, you get, my friend, you don't need God. Make sense? You don't need God. Michelle, you want this, you get. It cannot be. But God will give at His time what we need and what we hope for. I just give you a verse. If you go to Matthew, Mark, Luke 24, 21, this is the road to Emmaus. This was after Jesus appeared to the disciples. The two of them, he met these two disciples. This over Gong, saw him walking him. They didn't know it was Jesus. And then I don't have the time, but he just said, these two disciples saw God. They say, hey, you don't know. When you're walking along us, what happened? Oh, we believe in Jesus. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. That is the two disciples talking to Jesus. When actually Jesus was talking to them, they didn't recognize him. This is what they say. We had hoped that he was the one. 24, 21. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Meaning in their mind, they thought that Jesus was going to be alive, physically the one. Question. That was the expectation, right? I now have a question for you. Is God going to redeem Israel? The answer is yes, but he's going to redeem in his own way, in his time, but not the way you want him to do. Does it make sense? So I want to encourage us that as we go down the line in 2024, there's a difference between expectations and expectancy. I encourage you to be expectant that God will show up in anything you do and not set perimeters for God. Doesn't work that way. Bring up this cake. Japan. I think 800 cakes were supposed to be frozen and sent to the people in Tokyo. Cock up. 800 cakes were sent, and when it reached down there, this is one of them, I think. The thing hit the pocket, hit the side, and the cake. So, Winnie, cake for Silas, 60th birthday, order this cake. Supposed to come in frozen. When it reached down there, gonna sigh. This is exactly what you got. Japanese are good for what? Everything perfect, right? More service standard. But they cocked it up. And it became a national scandal. Wow, Japan, how can you do this? And today's article, I think it was yesterday's article, Silas read it. Silas and I always read. So Silas, you never read, I'll be very disappointed you didn't read this. Do you read this? Okay. So the Japanese, they are famed for being perfect, but the article says that because now they got lower labor force and so forth, they, maybe even the machinery they use are supernatural productive, right? But even that is caught up with them, there are some problems here and there. So the cake, they said the expectations would be that the cake would reach you frozen, nice, open, everything is there. Who doesn't expect that? Do you know how much the cake costs? $40 US only, you know. $53 thing. $53, you want to come perfect. Ah? I'm not saying therefore when you buy a cake, expect it to come like that, but when it comes like that, that's life, ah, right? Because you know, sometimes you drive in there, all the cakes. Do we give some leeway when people make mistakes? I'm talking to myself. Sometimes when people work for me, yeah, very tough. Every intern, Taklun, do you cry when you work for me? Never. Because you're too young. Or do we get things done that we trust God? Are you living your life with expectancy? Next slide, please. Are you living your life with expectancy that God is on your side and that He knows what He's doing, or are you expecting Him to do things your way and your way only? What's that saying? Highway or the byway? I can't remember. Do you know what I'm saying? Are you expecting God to living your life expectancy that God is on your side, He knows what He's doing? That's faith, right? God knows what He's doing. Or are you expecting God, you must do things this way, my way, and my way only? Is He the God? Next slide, please. Thank you, Malcolm. Is He the God only of our binds and squeezes? When we need Him, then we call Him. Or is He God of our lives? Denise. Is He God of our life? Everything. You hand your life to Him for a blank check. Not sure whether I'm in the rush to this. I got a bit of time because today, never mind, I'll go. I want to switch tracks a bit and talk about this guy called Jacob. Jacob, all of us know, Jacob, he's a conniver, a con man, charlatan, you know, tried to take the birthright from Esau, the eldest son, and then he got the blessings from the father. He was true to himself. There's no one else he cared about. He just wanted things his way. And in his initial part of his life, he was CCC, conniving, charlatan, con man, got what he wanted. But then the day came, about I think 20 years later, he had to meet Esau. And he was going to panic. Don't know what Esau was going to do him. So he prepared for the meeting, you know, better bribe, put all the flattery, buy the gifts, and then when he come, give him all the gifts and everything. So sui sui already, plan everything. And then he started to pray. This is what he prayed. Can you go with me to Genesis 32:9? If you have your Bibles open, go to Genesis 32:9. Genesis 32:9. Oh God, my father, Abraham, God, my father, Isaac, Jacob, you who said to me, go back to your country and relatives, and I will make you prosper. He says to God, I'm unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. Genesis 32:9-11. I'm unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed the Jordan, but now I've become two camps. Save me, God, I pray, from the hands of my brother Esau. For I'm afraid he will come back and attack me. I'm afraid he will come and attack me and also the mother with their children. And then he says in his prayer to God, but you have said, I will surely make you prosper and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. This is a prayer from this man who is going to meet Esau, thinking Esau is going to destroy him. Fair statement, right? I mean, if you take my birthright, Silas, I'm the older one you take, and then now the father bless you, don't bless me, I'm coming to meet you. You're also scared, right? You try, you prepare. But look at the way he prays. He says, you know, God, but you have said, I will surely make you prosper, verse 12, and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. My friends, do we pray like that? It's transactional. He's telling God, God, hey, remind me, God, you say you'll bless me. You also say you'll make me prosper. So God, can you take care of me? Is that how we pray? Is that how we approach God? Or do we give God a blank check without completely saying, God, you're my God. Take care of me. And all of us know this famous WWF before Jacob wrestled with this man, God himself. And in Genesis 32, you read Genesis 32. until Jacob, next slide please, Malcolm, WWF, wrestled with God. He was alone with God. He had to wrestle God, and the Lord wrestled with him, and then he wrestled with God for a while. That night, verse 22, Jacob got up, took his two wives, sent them all away when he was alone. Verse 24, Genesis 32, 24, Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw they could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go until you bless me." He says, "I will not let you go until you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" And then Jesus, God, bless him there. Before the wrestling, God, actually, he yao feng de feng, conniver, con man. That's why I tell people, guys, don't worry about those people who are wicked and who are prospering. The day of judgment will come. Do you not know a lot of wicked people who are doing very well? Michelle, have not? A lot of them, right? But their day of reckoning will come. So just because they're wicked and they're prospering doesn't mean they're going to be like them, but their day will come. So Jacob was an evil man, right? Conniver, charlatan, con man, all the bad seeds. He was going to wrestle with God, and wrestle with God he did. The God that we know wrestled with him, and the Lord blessed him there. Bless him there, verse 29. "Why do you ask my name?" Then the Lord blessed him there. His pride is broken through brokenness, and he became Israel. I've got a question for you, and I end today. What was the blessing? When God wrestled with Jacob, Jacob said, "I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." What was the blessing, guys? What was the blessing? First point, after this, Jacob walked with a limp. And I'm telling you, for the first time in his life, with this limp, he was walking straight. Are you with me, Brian? All the time his life was crooked and everything, but when Lord blessed him, the blessing was, although now he walks with a limp, because God, you know, touched his socket and he could not be overcome, right? For the first time in his life, he was going to walk straight. So the blessing for him is, he was going to walk with a limp. But by walking a limp, ironically, he's walking straight the first time in his life. So how does God bless us sometimes? Isn't it when, JJ, when we are broken, the blessing came, one theory will be, he walks with a limp, but he's walking straight for the first time. The second blessing is because God says, "Why do you ask my name?" Because Jacob asked, "Please tell me your name." But God replied, "Why do you ask my name?" So for the rest of his life, Jacob, now known as Israel, had to constantly grapple with the question, "Why do you ask my name?" I think that's a very good constant grappling. As you keep asking, "Why do you ask my name?" You're talking to God and you're thinking about God all the time. So that is the second blessing. And the third blessing is, he saw the face of God. Can you go to Genesis 32:30? This is what he says. So Jacob, Genesis 32:30, Jacob called the place Peniel, where he wrestled with God, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." First time. He said there, and some of us have seen this many times before, Jacob called the place Peniel, "It is because I saw God face to face." Second time he saw, and this is interesting, I didn't pick it up until I saw it recently. And after that, Jacob actually went to meet Esau, right? He did. When he went to meet Esau, will you just cast your eyes to Genesis 33? So Esau, Jacob met Esau, Jacob looked up and saw there was Esau coming with him. So he came in front of him. He went on ahead, Genesis 33:3. This time Jacob went ahead and bowed down to the ground 7 times in humility as he approached his brother. But Esau ran to meet Jacob, embraced him, threw his arms around him, and then they wept. And then Esau looked up and saw the woman and children. "Who are with you?" he asked. "They are the children God has graciously given your servant." Verse 8, "Why you give me all the flocks and herds I meet?" Because Jacob, in his carnal mind, before God wrestled him, thought that, "Yo, I better use his gifts to make sure that Esau won't be angry with me." "What's the meaning of all these flocks and herds I meet?" Jacob says, "To find favor in your eyes, Gogo, my brother." But Esau said, "I already have plenty, my brother. I don't need anything. Keep what you have for yourself." Verse 10. No, please, Jacob says, if I found favor in your eyes, accept this gift from me. Listen to this. For to see your face is like seeing the face of God. I never understood this. Why would he say to see your face is like to see the face of God? When he wrestled, Olivia, when he first wrestled in Genesis 2, when he said, I saw the face of God, because wrestling in God, you saw the face of God, I understand. Here, 33, when he sees the enemy, Esau, right? And Esau was very nice, hugged him, said, no need, lah, all your bird nests, all I have enough for, go on, no need. He didn't accept, but then he hugged him, he forgave him, a bit like Silas, isn't it? The parable of the prodigal son who came back, the father hugged him. Same thing, right? Hugged him and then wanted to give him all the gifts. He didn't take. And then this is Jacob saying, I think he's so touched. He says, no, please, if I found favor in your eyes, please accept all the bird nests and everything. For to see your face is like seeing the face of God now that you receive me favorably. My friends, in 2024, I want to encourage us and I will bless you that you see the face of God. You see the face of God when God answers your prayer or does something for you that you didn't expect. Because we are not expect. Question, did Jacob expect things to turn out this way? No, man. What was his expectation? His expectation was that Esau was going to kill him. So I thought better bribe him so that the gawker was not going to make life difficult for him. You understand? That was his expectation. That's a negative expectation. But if you're expectant of God, God does wondrous things. And God did this wondrous thing. And when this happened to him, Jacob says, I have seen your face, my brother. It is like seeing the face of God. He was so touched because God delivered him and blessed him. Does it make sense to you? That's to see the face of God. I want to bless you in 2024. Will you see the face of God? So when you do the email, half the time when I do emails, sometimes when you do so many things, some emails are nasty, some are not. Then when I'm so tired, God invariably will send some email to say, Dear Daniel, not God sent, but not the enemy. Dear Daniel, the matter is settled. My clients will pay you 5,000. It's like when I see that email, guys, I see the face of God. Are you with me? Because God answers at his time. I didn't expect that, but half the time, if not most of the time, when I do something for God, when I know that I'm so tired, God will send me something to encourage me. Isn't that your experience when you work with God? Why Kyung keeps saying that Gan was so whatever you're going through, remember you shared about it, and then you still baptize him despite whatever you're going through? What possesses us to do this kind of thing? Well, actually, you should be somewhere else grieving maybe. But when we do God's work, when we wrestle with God, when we just come before him, expectant that he will bless us even though we're very tired. Not expectations, but expectant he will show up. He does, like he did for Jacob. He was blessed. JJ, you can be blessed walking with a limb because you're no longer crooked here. You're now walking straight, although you're walking with a limb. When you continue to say, why do you ask my name? You're always thinking about questions for God. Isn't that a blessing? Rather than fill your thoughts with nonsense, you think about God. And then to see the face of God when God touches you. Tweak your socket. The difficult situation. Michelle, I pray for you. Situation difficult, right? When you go down there, wherever you go in Europe, something difficult, maybe a passport, whatever, and then the breakthrough comes. You see the immigration officer. It's like seeing the face of God. Isn't that wonderful, Don? I pray for you in 2024. You see the face of God, not the face of God, but you see the face of God in the situations that you have. May the Lord bless you. I want to just encourage the musicians to come forward now, Karen and Esther. Today, as we come before the Lord, I want to encourage you. Is there a last slide that I have? As you face barriers, receive blessings and pray to him as you live your life, I want to encourage you, don't be true to yourself. I said it when we had this Zoom meeting, right? How Asia, what we do is, oh, let's live our life, be true to ourselves. I don't be true to ourselves, whatever I want to do. Not true. I pray for you, don't be true to yourself. Not be true to yourself, and hope you get this. Actually, come to the end of yourself. Isn't that better? When you leave everything to God, come to the end of yourself, then God can come in and bless you. Don't be true to yourself, Adon. If I'm true to myself, my friend, You don't want to see me, man. If I'm true to myself, I'll be playing football now again. If you're true to myself, some of us will be lying down in some place and having a massage. If you're true to yourself, Tak, you won't be here. Until I threaten you, you don't come, I tell your mother, actually the inheritance, I know you give so much to him. Isn't it? The Christian faith tells us to come to the end of ourselves. And then God will give you whatever you need. Isn't it? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. Because you're self-righteous, that's the Pharisees, remember? That's the yeast of the Pharisees. They are self-righteous. How about you seek God and His righteousness? And then whatever inheritance, whatever new car, don't buy a lousy BM and then have to repair 30,000. Whatever you need, God will give unto you. I pray this will be something you carry through for 2024. But now I see this is what it means to be blessed. Amen.
I'd like to encourage all of us to stand up. Our Lord Jesus is here. And as you come to the end of yourself, allow Jesus to move deep in your heart. Thank you, our Lord Father, for giving your Son Jesus to die for us on our behalf. So that we die with Him. And Lord, as you raise Him up, Lord, we know that we are also raised together with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this evening, I know that today, this evening is a time of just surrender unto you. And as we come together, come before you, may your Spirit just move in our hearts. To exchange your yoke unto us, which is easy, which is light. Church, as we come together and we're going to sing this song, may just thanksgiving arise in our hearts to what the Lord Jesus has done. And it's okay. It's okay to ask Him, Jesus, I rely on you completely.
And I was a wretch, I remember who I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time, sin separated, the breach was far too wide, but from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your side. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. And thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. And thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious light.
You took my place,
and you took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, and then you walked right out again. Nothing, and life has no end. For I've been transformed by the blood.
Just continue to play the chorus. You know, I could imagine that this could have been the song that Jacob sang when he wrestled with God, isn't it? Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you that you have washed me white. Lord, thank you, you've saved my life. Bring me from darkness into glorious light. What a wonderful, wonderful song. I want to pray for us, especially for those who have come for the first time. Chris and Denise, will you come forward? Adriel, will you come? Even Tuck and Kelly, just come forward. It's okay if you're not a believer. Doesn't matter. Just be blessed. No one here's to curse you. I want you to just come forward. I want to people like Sachin, when you pray for them, they're new. Just pray for them. I want Kurt to come. Kurt is paying a high price to come to church, man. Tuition stops at 3 o'clock. And then I came today. I said, what are you doing so near? Oh, from 3 to 5, I have nothing to do, so I come. So he comes here and the children are just playing. But if that's the price he needs to pay, that the children will come to church after tuition, 3 o'clock, and then 3 to 5, wait. That's the price you'll pay. But God will bless you. God will surround you with good footballers to score goals for your team. God will bless you so that I pray for you, Kurt, as the captain of the football team. Many people will court your favor so that the players will come to church. Then our football becomes even more meaningful, isn't it? Chris and Denise, I pray for you a new car. This car at a good price, and this car will not break down. For some reason, the petrol doesn't seem to end. You spend less on petrol. And the Lord bless you. Can I ask you to come, Adriel, Chris and Denise, come. Kurt, will you come forward? And my nephew, Tak Lun, will you come forward? I want to pray for you. Silas, can you pray for him? As you come, I want you to keep praying and singing this song. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. I want to pray for you. Can the leaders just come? Will you just come and pray for them? Silas, when you come, pray for my daughter. Pray for my nephew. Whoever else. Where the gun, Royston, can you please pray for them? Come and just pray for these people and pray for Adriel. Wai Kyong, will you come? Just pray for Adriel as well. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. You have saved my life, brought me from the darkness into glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus, for the blood.
Father, thank you for Adriel. The Lord bless you. The Lord wants you to know that you've come to a place
of courage.
As you come, you have come to a place where the Lord will use you. So even for the things that we do, make yourself and bring people to come, because you know that the time is urgent for so many people.
Thank you, Jesus.
So the Lord bless you. The Lord give you a place of comfort and also of challenge, so that you will come broken by God Himself. Do the work of His kingdom. The Lord bless you. The Lord calls you to understand He's doing a new work in your life and He's watching over you. Lack nothing as you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. All the things that you need, and the Lord knows each and every need, you provide. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Father, thank you. As we come before you, I want to pray for you. As we bring the service to an end, will you just lift your hands where you are? The Lord bless you. I pray for you that the Lord's blood is applied upon every situation in your business in Penang, in the where you are working as a nomad, a digital person, where you are, even for those people here for internships in Singapore, those people who are running businesses, the banks, the challenges in 2024, not being able to see where the market is going. The Lord give us wisdom. The Lord give us courage. The Lord give us a place of restoration. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you, the Lord's hand be upon you, the Lord continue to wash you so that you'll be white as snow. The Lord give you tracks that are not straight only, but you will learn to just follow the Lord as He gives you a meandering path. But know this, the Lord determines your step. The Lord brings you from darkness into glorious light. The Lord bless you. Holy Spirit, thank you for being in your place. Because the Lord has gone so that you're with us forever. Lord, teach us every day to hear you, and when you knock on the doors of our heart, may we respond in faith and in obedience. Father, we thank you. Holy Spirit, you're our friend. Be with us always. We pray all this through the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you. We see you next week. God bless you. Next week's a prayer meeting. Can I just invite you to come at 4:30 next week? Thank you so much. The prayer slides to know whoever. Sabrina, eh? You remind her again? Thank you. See you next week, 4:30. God bless you.
Thank you, Jesus. You have saved my life. brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Brought me from the darkness
too low.
The low, low, the low. Thank you, you have saved my life. Wow, song, okay, but very nice.
C la, C. C can, guys can. We sa ji, but guys can.
Thank you. Oh, so low. Jesus for your
love. Okay, C, we try C.
You, Jesus, for the